we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Here we are. It's Monday in Brevard County, Florida. What a great place to live. What a great time to be alive. And what a great radio station to be listening to. We thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pray that you had a good weekend. We had a whole lot of birthdays last week. Listen, there are lots of August birthdays in our immediate family and then our extended family and just a lot of, in fact, I think I read someplace that August has more birthdays than any other month of the year. And so we also have a familial birthday, not here in Florida, but that one that we're celebrating today. And so happy birthday if you happen to be tuning in on to the radio program on the computer there. Happy birthday. We love you. So we want to give a shout out today to all of those who are listening. We want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. I've not only used them at the church, but I'm also using them at my house for the repair, for some of the repairs that we've been doing. And I just want to thank them for being a blessing to the body of Christ here in Brevard County. They will keep you powered up. They will keep you cool. Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 632-9538. The people that I tell you about here on the program, I recommend highly because I keep going back to them. I've got so many people that have been a blessing to us over and over and over again. And, you know, the church as a whole tends to have the favor of God and is able to make a dime go a lot farther than a dime should go. I don't know how 90% of income goes farther than 100%. And I'm not just talking about on a personal basis. We actually tithe as a church. In fact, our missions giving every year runs somewhere between 25 and 30% of our budget. If you think that, if you believe the lie that society would tell you that churches are just looking for your money so that they can, sit around and twiddle their thumbs and sing Kumbaya, you are sadly mistaken. You have believed a lie. And I want you to know that there are people who are fed. There are people who have needs met in their life. People who run into financial times, difficulties here in Brevard County, we've helped. It's a local, a national, and international outreach that we do. And so we're very thankful for what God has enabled us to do at Merritt Assembly of God. It's our privilege to bring the Word of God to you. So God does make 90% go farther than 100%. I can tell you, you can hold on to everything you've got, but God says you're always going to be hungry, but those who sow generously, they're going to reap an abundant harvest. I encourage you to do that. So don't forget, this week is the Duke Matlock Mornings Matter Growth Workshop that will be taking place Saturday morning, 9 a.m., bring a pen with you. You're going to be doing some writing and things like that. So please do not put that off. If you're interested in coming, there's free breakfast. Now, it's not going to be steak and eggs. I'm just going to tell you that it's going to be finger foods and, more like a continental breakfast, but there'll be coffee there. I guarantee you there'll be coffee. And there's free breakfast, free lunch, free personal growth workshop. Make sure you come out and be a part of that this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. And it will be a blessing to you. And as a result, it'll be a blessing to the other people in your life. We're going to go into Isaiah chapter 32 today. We're not going to be talking about the entirety of this chapter like we have some others. But today we are going to be talking about the dichotomy between the righteous and the foolish. The righteous and the foolish. Verse number one, this is a messianic prophecy. In chapter 32, verse number one, it says, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. Also, the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. The foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful, for the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail, and the schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks justice. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand." So, in verses 1 through 4, we talk about what's going to happen when the righteous come. A king will reign in righteousness, and this is talking about Jesus. When Jesus is ruling and reigning, I want you to understand this, it changes society. I was reading a story here recently, and it talked about how these people were going from town to town, and they were finding hopelessness and despair and all sorts of things that were just really hard to deal with. And all of a sudden they came to one city and they found it abundant, and they found it thriving, and they found joy, and they found hope and peace and confidence. And the reason was because somebody had been to that town, had given them a Bible in their language before problems arose in the community at large. These people had been grounded in Jesus Christ, and they were a light shining on a hill, so to speak, in the midst of all of the doom and despair and darkness. The light and love of Jesus Christ was emanating from them. They said, "How come your all society is different?" It's because somebody gave us the word in a manner that we can understand. And so I will tell you this. If you hear something on the radio broadcast and you don't understand completely what it is the point I'm trying to get across, which is highly possible, I want to encourage you, jot a little note. If you got a prayer request, write it down, whatever you might be. But if you don't understand, don't just settle for not understanding. Ask me, call, leave a message, write an email, whatever you need to do. Just contact us with that, and we will see what we can do to clarify, because we need to be able to understand one another. We need to make sure that the message we are communicating is the message that our heart intends to get out. So, chapter 32, verse number 1, "Behold, a king will reign in righteousness." It is still said, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Whenever there is righteousness on the throne, and Jesus does not rule in any other manner, he does not. He never compromises the integrity of who he is because he's on the throne. He never deteriorates into a dictator. He is the sovereign one, but he sits upon the throne with compassion for his people, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. It says the king will reign in righteousness. That is how he governs. That is how he reigns. And it says, and the princes will rule with justice. And so you and I have this promise that if we are faithful with little here on this earth, that during the millennial reign of Christ, after the rapture has taken place and we come to rule and reign, that we will do that. We will rule and reign with him. We will be governors over villages and cities and all sorts of things. Don't ask me how to explain all of the details about how that's going to look or anything. I just know that's what the Word of God says. I may not have the detailed picture, but I trust the God who spoke that. And so if God is ruling and reigning in righteousness in your life, then men, that's the way that we should operate at home. We should be people of justice and righteousness. It's the way we ought to operate our businesses in justice and righteousness. We ought to be able to treat people fairly and continue to minister to them with the intent of representing God well, and with the goal of leading a person from darkness unto light. And so I want to ask you to evaluate the way that you are operating as a prince or a child of the king and say, is the manner in which I speak, the manner in which I carry myself, the manner in which I conduct myself, is that going to be a stumbling block to someone accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? If it is, change it. Change it, because we are supposed to be speaking the truth in love, in reason, and so we need to make sure that we are asserting our authority in the same manner in which God employs his. It says a man will be a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We sing some songs from the hymnal, and one of them says, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. It's an old song, and so we don't sing it that much, but I mean, it is embedded in my spirit that Jesus is the rock. If you look at the children of Israel in their wilderness wandering, Moses the first time was told to strike the rock. Moses the second time that the children of Israel were going through a barren season, he was told to speak to the rock, but he struck it instead. And it says that the reason that he struck it was because God's never wrong. And he tells Moses, he says, because you did not trust me in the eyes of the people enough to honor me as holy. And so I want you to know that how we respond to this rock in a weary land is very important. By the way, in the New Testament, it says that Jesus was the rock and he was following them around in the wilderness. Everywhere they went, he went with them, because and he managed to be a source of hydration for them, if you will. He is the rock in a weary land. He will cause a dry place to be an abundant place. He said, now listen, as I was preparing for this, I realized exactly what this passage was prophesying. It says, the eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will listen. And I, all of a sudden, it's like, that is exactly what Jesus did when he came on the earth. When there were blind people, he healed them and gave them vision. And if they saw, they saw better than they did, but it wasn't perfect, he said, what do you see? And they said, we see men like trees walking. And he said, you know what? That's not good enough. And he healed their eyesight. Do you realize that God had the ability to do vision correction surgery long before the first ophthalmologist was ever capable of doing that? I was having this conversation a haircut or two ago with the person that cuts my hair, and they said, Bob, do you realize without the technology we were talking about eyesight and how fragile it is. And he made this statement. He said, wow, without the advances in medical knowledge and expertise, there'd be a lot more blind people. And I said, you're absolutely right. And in Jesus' day and time, if Jesus hadn't come, there would have been a lot more people who were left to beg because they couldn't see. And there would be a lot of people that they would be incapable of speaking because they were incapable of hearing. There's a direct connection between your auditory system and your vocal system. What you hear is what you speak. When we're born, our vocal cords are just really a blank slate. You were not born in America to automatically speak English. It is because you were hearing those things that it helped you to form your words. And I will tell you this, if you want to learn languages, if you want your kids or your grandkids to learn languages, you need to expose them to those languages as early as possible, because at some point in time, I don't know exactly at what age it is, your vocal cords begin to transform and they're not as easy to manipulate as they once were. That's why we are amazed whenever we see not a ventriloquist, although that's very impressive as well, but a person that does impressions of one another, because they have got to have extremely pliable, manipulative, if you will, vocal cords that can be manipulated to sound like different people. I'm thankful because if Jesus healed blind eyes in the New Testament when he walked the earth and he healed deaf ears when he walked the earth, then I have every confidence to believe that he's still in the vision correction and he's still in the hearing correction business today, because Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the healer. So I can still pray and believe God for kidney stones to be healed, and I can believe him for kidneys to be healed and eyesight to be healed and hearts to be healed and backs to be healed. I can believe those things because he's the same now as he was then. And it says that because the king is reigning in righteousness, it says, in the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. It says that in some other research that I did, that they would have good judgment, that they would have good judgment. How's your decision-making process? It's my contention the better our decision-making process is, the more that we understand, the more that we listen to God, the better the decisions we're going to make. Now, I know a lot of people, they're still making very, very bad decisions. They've got decades of experience of making bad decisions, and they still have not come to the place where they've humbled themselves enough to say, God, I need you to do something because I keep making the same mess up over and over and over again. And it says that the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. One of the goals that I have for myself is to be able to communicate with people at whatever level they are in. I was having a conversation several weeks ago with a person, and they were talking about, they're a little bit older than I am, not extensively, but a little bit older. And we were talking about how this new culture that has arisen, that they are the normal, we are the abnormal. You know, one of the things that happens with missionaries when we send them to the field is that they go to language school when they get there. It's not that they can't learn the language here, but they learn application, and it's very intensive when they go. But the goal is to communicate the gospel plainly and simply in the culture that they are going, so that they, so that the people who are hearing can respond to the gospel. And so my strategy, or one of my goals, I've always had the goal of preaching a simple message. I read a commentary when I was in Bible college, you know, as it says in Star Wars, in a galaxy far, far away, at a time long, long ago, or long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. I think that's the way that I read this commentary on the Gospel of John. It says the Gospel of John is so simple that a babe can understand it, and so intense, or so deep a pool that an elephant could swim in it. In other words, it's simple to understand, and yet you can spend a lifetime trying to come to the full understanding of all that the Gospel of John has to say. It's one of my favorite books. And so I'm striving to, though I preach the gospel from a very simple perspective, I'm not here to influence you or impress you with the sophistication of my vocabulary, rhetorical skills. I'm from Oklahoma. That's just not one of my goals in life. My goal is to make sure that I speak the message in a manner which is very plain and very easy to be understood. I know that this society wants to deal with grays, but there's a lot more clearly right and wrong than what this society acknowledges. And so I need to learn how to speak not just to my generation, but to my kids' generation and to my grandchildren's generation and to the generations in between there, you know, those little sub-generations, if you will. I need to be able to speak the gospel to senior citizens as well as to toddlers. And so you can see me doing a great number of things to try and build relationship with people, because when you have relationship with people, you understand them better. But not everybody's going to respond to righteousness. And it says that all of a sudden, the foolish person will no longer be called generous. Verse number 6, for the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodly, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. In other words, see, there's a mindset that says you're not supposed to call anybody a fool. And yet the Bible uses the word fool, folly, foolishness, foolish repeatedly. And so what's happened is we tend to call people a fool who do not believe like us or do not act like us. And I want to make sure that I reserve the definition of foolishness or a fool, the definition of a fool, to the Word of God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So it doesn't say that it is the words that come across your lips. It is the attitude of the heart, that there is no God, that there's no accounting, that there is no plan, there's no purpose. That's foolishness according to the Word of God. And so foolish persons speak foolishness. If you speak what you are, not what you think. I mean, if you are sitting up here and all you are doing is reading something, that is going to come across. But if you are speaking out of your very nature, it comes across much more genuine. It comes across as authentic, and it is received better. I don't want to be saccharine sweet or artificial sweetener sweet. I want to be sweet because of the presence of Jesus Christ. I want it to be very natural. And so it says that they speak foolishness, and in their heart they work iniquity, and they practice ungodliness. Okay? The Romans chapter 1 says that they not only act ungodly, but they approve those who are behaving in ungodly ways. I think that's Romans chapter 1. It might be a different passage that I'm thinking about. I'm turning over there to confirm now. The very last part of chapter 1 of Romans, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so it is their lifestyle. If you are living and practicing ungodliness, the Bible says that's foolish. There's a better way. It's going to leave you in error. It's going to leave you unsatisfied. It is going to leave you parched. It is going to leave you vulnerable to every attack of the enemy. Verse number 8, though, I want to leave you with some good news. But a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. I want to encourage you to adopt a giving mindset. The scripture says God loves a cheerful giver, or God loves a liberal giver. And what that means is that your possessions do not have control of you. Your possessions are just what God has entrusted you to be a steward of, and you want to be a blessing to those around you. Last year, we had quite an exciting venture that happened, and that was my wife and I decided to give away a vehicle. You would have to understand it wasn't the world's greatest vehicle, but it was what I drove. It was my personal vehicle, and somebody could get get use out of that better. You know, it would be a blessing to them. It would remove them from walking, and they would be able to drive. And so we made the decision to bless a family with that. And what we didn't realize was that you can't outgive God. I mean, we know that. We preach it. We practice it. But you can't. And God blessed us with a vehicle. Somebody who doesn't come to the church, they were getting a new vehicle, and they blessed us with theirs. And I want to encourage you, if you've never tried generosity, give it a shot. Selfishness has a long track record of making people miserable, but generosity has a tremendous promise from God that it's going to cause you to experience the joy of the Lord like you've never seen it before. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.